Come on, let's go get in.
Mom, a clown.
Yeah, clown. Hi.
Hi. I'm going to have to be taking your car today. See, I have some top secret clown business that supersedes any plans that you might have for this here vehicle.
What's that about clown business?
Do I stutter, bitch?
Jamie, get in the car. Lock the door.
Where the hell are you going? Damn it. Don't you never turn your back on a fucking clown when he's talking to you.
Fucking hands off of me!
What's the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns? Why? Don't we make you laugh? Aren't we fucking funny? You best come up with an answer, because I'm going to come back here and check on you and your mama. If you ain't got a reason why you hate clowns, I'm going to kill your whole fucking family. All right, now get your fucking ass out the car. Come on. Yeah. Shit. Woo.
Hey, what's up? It's Zisu, back again, and this is E-Society Presents Up to the Challenge. On this pad, we challenge each other to watch something, movie, TV show, documentary, or whatever, as long as it's streaming or available. Then we'll discuss what we thought and present the next challenge. This is episode 17. Today we'll be talking about Devil's Rejects and Circus King. But before I go any further, he's up to the challenge. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Continuing with our October horror theme, thriller, suspense, whatever you want to call it. We do have two episodes coming. One's going to be a regular episode, and then we have our ESP at the movies, the new yes. Halloween movie. Yes. We're kind of behind schedule because there's some court issues. Nothing to deal with us, but just the Zisu's jury duty. So that's kind of throwing a wrench in everything. But we're going to try to give you guys some stuff. But if you're not listening to the regular feed, or other than the regular feed, you can also hear my 31 days of horror that I'm doing for Anchor.
Yes. Yes. Very cool.
So I got to do catch up. I'm a day late on one of them. But
All right.
By the time you hear this, I'll be caught up. So.
You'll be set.
Yeah. Let's start off with mine because
sure.
We are going to probably talk a little bit more about the Devil's Rejects. The Zisu challenged me to... You said it was on Hulu, but it was actually on Prime.
Okay.
So, because I looked all over Hulu and I said, I don't remember seeing this movie.
But it's on Prime, though. Yeah.
This is a movie that came out last year. This is called Circus Kane. It's directed by Christopher Ray, written by James Cullen, Bresak, Sean Sellers, and Zach Ward. Is that the guy from Christmas Story? The bully, Scott Fargus? I'm looking my internet.
The one
it is him.
The main kid.
No.
Well, he's not a kid.
No, I'm talking about the writers. I'll get to the cast in a second.
Oh, okay.
One of the writers, Zach Ward, he was Scott Fargus in Christmas Story. The main kid. He was also he was also in Freddy vs. Jason, and I remember he was in Resident Evil Apocalypse for like a second. cool. I didn't know he wrote this. But this is, like I said, it's Circus King. This, let me give you a quick synopsis. A reclusive circus master invites a group of social media stars to his house of haunts. Anyone who can make it out before being scared into submission will earn $250,000. But the stars soon learn they are not only competing for money, but also fighting for their lives. this stars Jonathan Lipnicki. You guys might remember him, little kid from Jerry Maguire.
Yep. That's what I was going to say.
there's the Balthazar Kane, the Circus Kane guy, is Tim Abell. We got Richard Mole that's only in it for like a second. Big Mike himself, Mark Christopher, he plays Billy. And then some other people, I have no idea who they are. They had streaming on Amazon, came out last year. I like this movie, man. I thought it was awesome. It was
nice.
Good to hear. It took me a couple tries because the very beginning, it's kind of started off like old fashioned-y.
Okay.
And, about this the Balthazar Kane guy and on who he was and how he did magic and all this, and I was kind of like, okay, it's low budget. It's yeah, whatever. I mean, and the known people that are in this, I mean, yes, they were big at one point, and then you just start taking roles to keep the money rolling in, which I understand. I'm not an actor or anything, but I'm sure you do what you got to do to make that money. So not hating on anyone that was at big at one point, and then now they just pop up in these little indie films. But this is an indie film I thought was really good. I thought it was really with the practical effects, with the blood and gore and everything. I thought that was really cool. The idea of this is that they get these all these people. I think it was like about five or six of them. I can't remember. And they take them to this house and they offer them look. If you stay, finish the puzzles that's going on in this house. It's kind of like it was kind of like Saw-ish type of things where you had to get through these rooms to survive and to make your way out of the house. And there's just like booby traps in each room. And that's pretty much it. I won't give the ending away because I think if you do like these type of cheesy films, like I said, the blood, it wasn't like super bloody and gory, but the little bit that was in it was done pretty good. And it kept my attention once they got into the house. So, like I said, each room has traps. They're slowly trying to figure a ways to get through it. Slowly, one of them, each one person, one by one, they all start getting killed. I won't say who goes first or who survives, but it was cool. Some of the kills were a little cheesy. They could have been better, but overall it was good. There was no CGI. There was no CGI blood, which I don't like. But overall, man, I really enjoyed this. I'll probably watch it again. But yeah, like I said, it took me a couple tries to watch it because the beginning was like, okay, like he was explaining the story that kind of, to me, didn't really need to be in the movie, but I understood they were basically trying to lay you down who this Balthazar Kane guy was. But, man, overall, it was cool. Jonathan Lipnicki, I didn't really look in to see who was in this. I just hit play and started watching. Man, it's good to see that this kid is still acting. I think from the only movies I can remember him being in was other than Jerry Maguire when he was that little kid, and then he was in that one vampire movie. It was a kid film. I think it was called like Little Vampire or something like that. But
yeah.
those are the only things that come to mind when I think of that kid. Man, he's still a good looking kid. He didn't grow up. Hey, I'm not the greatest looking guy in the world, but there's some kids that are cute when they're little, but when they're bigger, they're ugly. this kid, he still looks the same. He just got a little taller. It looks like he's been hitting the gym. This isn't a spoiler or anything, but if you guys remember Jerry Maguire, he kept constantly saying like the human head weighs like 8 pounds or something, that just some cute little thing he was saying in the movie. They actually used that in this, which I got, and I thought it was funny. It put a smile on my face. one of the killers kills someone, and then there's like a few killers in the house. If you see the poster, there's a crazy looking clown. That's one of the killers, and there's another one, which I won't tell you who it is, but it was cool because when some person got their head cut off, and then he kind of throws the, hey, did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds? And I thought it was funny. But overall, it's just cheesy, good time horror, Saw ripoff type of deal. And I really enjoyed this film. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. If you guys feel like just you have an hour and a half to waste and you don't really care on story or anything, check this one out. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just to kind of let everybody know when we're watching this, there's a timestamp. All of a sudden, I've got in the background low sound the Rockets-Lakers game, but it just a huge fight just erupted. Yes, nothing happened. It's an NBA fight. Everything got separated, but it kind of exploded there for a second. Everybody's up in arms. I don't know what's going to happen, but... yeah, that's where we're at. Back to Circus Kane. I meant to even watch the trailer, and then I completely forgot, mainly wrapped up in this court case. But looking on the IMDb at it, only 13 user reviews, no critical reviews. But it's kind of interesting considering what we're going to talk about. The second review I'm seeing here says, "Can you say I want to be Rob Zombie?" But overall, it's funny because just like pretty much any other like TV show, movie you look at on IMDb, it's completely mixed. Some people loved it, some people hated it. So,
I mean, it was good. I mean, the movie quality. It's not crappy camera work. I mean, it was all practical effects. I thought. Obviously they built these sets, so I don't know, maybe they were they had access to a big set where they built all this, because there was no way this was in somebody's house. But yeah, they show outside a big house outside, but then you know how that goes with these movies. They only show you like The Shining, for example. You see the outside of the Overlook Hotel, but when you get inside, that's not what's inside. I know this because I've been to the, I'm talking about the Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, not the one that was on TV. I think that was the Stanley Hotel, and I believe that's in Colorado. The Overlook Hotel, from the movie, is actually in Oregon. And my wife and my sons, Antigua, and I, we went there. I mean, we're huge Shining fans, so it was good to go there. We weren't allowed to walk around in the hotel, but we kind of got around that, and we did walk all through the hotel. Does not look like that inside like in the movie. That was all on a stage set in somewhere in like London or England, one of those places. London, England, yeah, same thing, but somewhere over there in England. But anyway, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure a lot of these sets were built on a set somewhere. So, but overall, man, I mean, they really put the budget in it. I don't know how much it cost to make this movie, but the money was well spent, I thought. For a low budget film like this, I would say if it wasn't a million, I'm trying to look it up right now.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up too.
Maybe close to it.
Makes sense.
I don't see a budget on IMDb. Let me look.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it either. It's cool though that honestly, you know, I'm not the biggest horror fan. But honestly, I love when people make, you know, these kind of smaller movies, you know, like that. That's awesome. And it sounds, I'm glad you enjoyed it, you know. It wasn't a waste of time or anything.
Yeah, it started off, like I said, the very beginning seemed like it was a waste of time. But no, man, it actually turned out to be, to me, an entertaining film. I know there's... some people that go, I turned it off. These movies are stupid, man. You got to give these filmmakers. Listen to me, the main guy that always bitches and complains about movies like that stupid Venom movie. But but that's a big, huge movie.
That's different.
That's a huge movie company. That's right. Sony. This is like if the Zisu and I made a movie and we would want people that would like to see it. Like our friend of the show, Mike Morin.
Right.
I think he paid like $5,000 to make his first film.
That's awesome.
And that's it's expensive to us because I don't have I don't have $5,000 to make a movie, but I can give it to him for doing it. I cannot find a budget on this at all. I mean, but overall, I mean, like I said, I'm sure it was, if it wasn't a million, maybe close to it. I don't know.
Right. But it's got to be minimal.
Yeah. I mean, but overall, man, I really enjoyed this film. It you look at the poster and you don't think it's going to be all that. It seems like this is going to be stupid. And I was shocked on how much I really enjoyed this film. Like it got a 4.6. If I was to give it a 1 out of 10, I would give it I'd go about a 6. I mean, I enjoyed it.
That's fair.
I enjoyed it that much. I mean, actually, a 6 is actually good. It's on more than half. So, I really enjoyed it. I would watch this. I would watch this again. I mean, I really enjoyed it that much because it was. I like cheesiness. I like blood and gore, but it wasn't overboard. And like I said, it was good to see, especially Big Mike. I don't know his real name, but I keep calling him Big. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I'm looking at the pictures of the actual movie, and yeah, I know who you're talking about.
What show was he in?
I'm gonna.
It was something Joel.
Right now.
Joel made me watch. Because we met him at Comic-Con 1 year.
Wow, he was in The Island, Terminator 2, Chuck.
That was it. That was the show that I think it was
Big That's Mike. Right. Yeah, Chuck. Now I totally remember him in Chuck.
Yeah, because Joel was like, you got to watch the show. I watched it. I didn't like it. But yeah. That guy. It was cool to see him. Because like I said, I really didn't look in to see who was in this film. And like I said, man, I really enjoyed this. It's stupid. It's cheesy. But that's the stuff I like. Some of you people might not like it because I won't name the podcast. Right. I won't name the podcast, but I was listening to these two, the two hosts. And they were talking about the first Halloween film, the first three Halloween films. Listening to them, I obviously know they did not see these in the theater. They weren't even alive when they came out, because they said the first time they watched them, it was on DVD. I'm like, okay. And I always go to that. I mean, with all these old 80s and 70s horror films, I was there. I was alive. And if I didn't see it in the theater, I saw it on TV, but I was young enough to enjoy it and take it for what it is. I'm 47 now, and I still enjoy these films. But I love that show. I listen to it. I'm a faithful listener, but they were kind of pissing me off, going, "Oh, these movies are horrible. Yeah. Why do you make these?" It just goes to age. Like some of you listening, you younger listeners might like.
Sure.
It was crappy to me. I don't know. A lot of young people did like it. That movie, I think it was last year, The Bye Bye Man. That movie was horrible. I liked how it started. I liked how The Bye Bye Man looked, but the rest of it was just crap. Oh, my God. That was like the number one worst movie for me of 2017 or whatever. I think it was 2017. And from what I'm reading, there's going to be a part two. Of course, I'm going to see it. I see everything. Horror-related, right. But oh my God, that first one was trash. But anyway, but this one wasn't. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It's not for everybody. You guys might think it's trash as well, but I really enjoyed it. For a super low-budget film with just a minimal names, I can only think of the three ones that the Big Mike, the Lip Nicky Kid, and Bull from Night Court. Those are the only three that I recognize. Everyone else was fresh face to me. But overall, I really enjoyed this, and I'm glad you picked it, because I believe it was just something you just randomly picked out of
a hat. Yeah, it was. It was. When I was browsing quick, it caught my eye as like, oh, this came out last year. It looks like they were trying to cash in on the It phenomenon. So that being said, did you get any It vibes?
No, it was just that clown on there. There was no, it was nothing. If you click on that, there's a ton of other clown movies that pop up, like on IMDb or Amazon. There's not to say that It started the whole clown craze. There has been tons of movies with clowns. Not all of them are good. The one that's good to me, but I know a lot of people don't like to watch it or don't want nothing to do with it because of the director. It's the guy that directed the Jeepers Creepers films. Yes, he got my money all three times with the Jeepers Creepers trilogy. I can't remember his name, but he's basically a pedophile. He molested this kid. The main actor that was in Clown House, and he was a kid. And I think it came out much later, but it did happen. And I'm shockingly surprised that he still has a movie career. I mean, because when Jeepers Creepers 3 was coming out, everybody was like, "Nah, I'm not going to give this guy money." And da da da. Why is he still working? But apparently, people still wanted to see it because that when I saw it. It was only they did. I think was it last year? I think when they did it.
Yeah.
It was only one night showings, and I got it was sold out on the screens that I saw it. I saw it once in the theater. It's on Netflix now. If you guys want to check it out, it's stupid. It's cheesy. I enjoyed it because that's what I like, and I love the little twist ending at the end. If you're familiar with the whole Jeepers Creepers films, I really appreciated the ending. The CGI and all that was crap, but overall, I enjoyed it. I was glad I saw it on the big screen. I don't agree with what he did. No, none of you should agree with what he did in his personal life. But I was a fan of the Creeper, so I had to see this. And but if you guys want to check out Clown House, I thought it was a good movie. Scared the hell out of me, but. I don't think it's streaming anywhere. If it's not on YouTube, I don't know. I'm sure it's out there. But But anyway, enough for Circus Kane. I enjoyed it. Check it out. Streaming on Amazon Prime. If you guys feel the need to watch it, or if I sold it to you good enough, check it out.
Cool. Quick follow up on the little. We're doing this live. Most NBA fights are nothing. It's seriously nothing, but some punches were actually landed. People were thrown out. Very rare. Chris Paul punched Rondo. Rondo punched back. Ingram ran in, threw some punches. So, yeah, people got ejected. Doesn't happen often in the NBA.
I don't know who any of those people you are that you mentioned.
Okay, yeah. This is LeBron's first game as a Laker in L.A., and there's about 1 minute to go. Houston's up 5. Probably tell you who won here by the time we're done with the pod. But anyways, on to my challenge. The Nez challenged me to a movie he's referenced a couple of times on E-Society. I'm pretty sure you've used it as a random recommendation, if not once, at least twice, because there are some parts in this that I definitely remember hearing about from you on the pod. So this was 2005's The Devil's Rejects, described as the murderous backwoods firefly family take to the road to escape a vengeful police force which is not afraid of being as ruthless as their targets. Yeah, this came out in 2005. Rob Zombie wrote it. He directed it. He stars in it.
No, he doesn't. Also,
that's not him?
He's not in it.
I thought that it was. That's not him?
No, he
just. Okay. See, now this is cool that you said that. I watched the whole thing thinking that was him because that's how I used to remember seeing him in videos.
Who? Which one?
The long-haired, white-haired guy. I thought that was him.
That's Bill Moseley.
Oh. That's funny. I was watching the whole time thinking that was Rob Zombie.
No. Bill Moseley's way older than Rob Zombie.
He's got that look. Like if it's been a while, but just thinking, what's that one? Living Dead Girl. Does that sound right?
I don't like that song.
Yeah. Well, it's the one I remember. So, but yeah, around that time he had that look. So
he didn't have gray hair or white hair.
Yeah. I just figured, you know, it was a couple of years. So anyways, that's interesting. I was just like, I didn't see him on the top build cast either, but I was like, yeah, that was him. And I'm seeing this picture of the Moseley guy. But anyways, yeah, that being said, as Nez said, this was the sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses, which I didn't watch. I just watched this one. And they're doing a follow-up to this, Three from Hell. It's in post-production, so I'm sure you're hyped for that, right, Nez?
I don't know. I'll wait till I see, because after this one, there should be no way there should be another one. So, but I don't know. Right. We'll see. From what I understand, Rob Zombie, he was on Eddie Trunk's podcast. It's not going to come out until sometime next year, because he's out on the road right now with Marilyn Manson, the Devil's Brothers, or I don't know, whatever they're Sons of Mayhem or something tour. I don't know, but they're out on the road right now. Check them out at a concert venue near you. I'm going. They're coming to Reno in December, and I'm hyped. I'm more hyped for Rob Zombie. Marilyn Manson, I seen him once. He's all right. I just want to see Rob Zombie.
That is interesting, though. I want to follow up that on that real quick. You said you didn't like Living Dead Girl. Is that just like because it was like a hit and stuff, or
I don't know. It was just too slow. He's got other faster songs. I don't like the slow ones. Give me something fast and hard. I like more of the White Zombie stuff instead of his solo Rob Zombie music, but.
Right,
he plays everything, so that's cool.
You're right. Yeah, that was definitely the only one I remember. I don't know. Did he have any other like hit type songs?
He had a bunch of them.
Like, I mean, like they like crossed over, like because I only know that because like the video and you'd hear it everywhere. It really did cross over. So, anyways,
He had a ton of hits.
Oh yeah,
sure. He had a bunch of hits with White Zombie,
right? Right.
Let me give you the White Zombie ones: Thunder Kiss '65, Black Sunshine, Feed the Gods, More Human Than Human. I think that was probably his biggest
that
hit. Supercharger Heaven. That was my favorite one. Living Dead Girl. I know this was the stuff I just named is all the White Zombie stuff, but he had a White Zombie was big, but they weren't super big. They broke up. I think he got bigger when he went as a solo, and it was just Rob Zombie. There wasn't
definitely
he didn't have a name for the band. But I'm glad that he still does the White Zombie songs because those are the ones that really get that hype me up the most. But he does play everything. He doesn't play stuff you don't want to hear. In his show, I mean, from what I understand, what he said is, this set, it's a full set. It's not just he's sharing the stage, with Marilyn Manson. I think they're going back and forth. Each night is a different closer, so it's not just Rob Zombie shuts the show down or Marilyn Manson does. He says they trade off back and forth. He said there's an opening band, but he doesn't remember who it is. But I'm hoping Rob Zombie shuts it. I'd rather have Marilyn Manson come on and get off and then close it out on a high note. So, but I don't know. We'll see. I'll let you guys know all that after I see him.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Yeah. Back to the movie itself. Well, actually, let me let you know, just to follow up on the live, the Rockets did beat the Lakers in LeBron's home opener. So, yay. Can never go for the Lakers. They've always been a rival of the Warriors. But anyways, the pod. I wanted to follow up that IMDb explanation with how they describe it, list it on HBO, which is where I watched it. You can watch it on HBO Go, HBO Now. It says, get ready for the ultimate in throwback 70s style horror, Rob Zombie's gritty, grisly sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses finds the venomous Firefly family continuing their murderous ways while on the run from the law. Richard Roper said the film in his 2005 review, it has to be the sickest, most twisted, most deranged movie of the year so far. And yeah, I wanted to say that because after watching it, I let it run all the way through the credits because it has there's still imagery going throughout the credits, so I let it run throughout. And when the movie was done, it went to back to the screen, and that's the first thing I saw, and I was like, well, yeah, you kind of nailed it, because yeah, whew, this one definitely doesn't fall within my normal tastes. Definitely not something I'd normally seek out on my own. But it's one of the reasons I love doing this pod. It's, you're up to the challenge. You might watch something, you know, you don't normally watch. And yeah, that's usually what Nez has me do, is watch these horror movies that I usually do not seek out on my own. So that being said, I didn't like completely hate it. You know, I watched it and I tried to find, you know, things in it. I think my favorite parts of it was the 70s style filming, and they do little 70s type techniques where they'd freeze frame on a character, things like that. I can't remember the song they used in the opening during the escape from the house, but
Midnight Rider by Allman Brothers.
Yeah. Pretty well known song. So I liked that, those touches. Obviously, I'm not really a traditional horror fan. I get real queasy with the blood and stuff like that. And one thing I guess I could respect the film for, but I also found it hard to watch just as a non-horror viewer, is it wasn't like you were like I said, as a non-horror viewer, it was hard to like get on the side of these like killers on the run. Like, they weren't like killing like bad people per se. So it was a little harder to like get on their side. You know, shortly after they're on the run, they're kind of terrorizing this other group of people who seem perfectly fine and like decent people. So it was like hard to kind of cheer for the bad guys. But in a way, I also can respect that, because that's different. That's not your like typical movie, you know, way of doing things. So, but yeah. And then, you know, I could tell there was like shout outs to, you know, older horror 70s stuff. It felt like, the thing with the family in the hotel, there's the thing with the daughter that totally felt like, even though I'm not the biggest, I don't have the most knowledge of it, but it felt a lot like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the whole face on a face thing. That's what they were going for with that, right, Nez?
You could say, but to me, no. But
no,
there was a before we go on, turn your TV down. All I can hear is the background.
That might be the heater, actually, because the TV is barely on.
Okay,
I'll turn off the heater.
No, that's all right. You can leave that on, because one pod we did, I could hear voices, and it was a TV.
You got it?
Yeah. They did skin somebody. It was in Texas Chainsaw 2 when Leatherface cut this guy's face off and put it on Stretch. Another movie. Lucky it's not streaming anywhere. I'd make you watch it. But they're not bad. Maybe the remake was a little more brutal than the original. But I really enjoyed this movie. It goes back to my very first time going to Comic-Con. They actually had the premiere for this. I couldn't go because I had the little guys with me. Marky and Tiga were too little, and there was no way I was going to have them sit through this. Tiga would have probably been able to handle it, but no way Marky could have.
Right.
But I got a poster. I got the main cast to sign it, except for Baby, who was played by Rob Zombie's wife, Sherry Moon Zombie. Everyone else signed it, which was awesome. Bill Moseley, Sid Haig, Matthew McGorry, Ken Forey. Those were the ones that were all there at the signing, which was cool. This is the day when you can just get in line and do signings. There was no tickets. There's no nothing like they do now, which is a big mess. And the crowd wasn't that crowded then in 2005. It was not like now if you go to Comic-Con when you're just like shoulder to shoulder walking around trying to look at everything. But that's when they had an awesome setup. It was for Lionsgate. They had a booth. They actually had the Cadillac, the convertible Cadillac they had there. That was sitting in the booth, which was awesome. You couldn't get in it, but it was cool. This movie is amazing. I love it. It's my favorite Rob Zombie film. He's given us House of Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, 31. I didn't enjoy it the first time, but I enjoy it now. The two Halloween movies, Halloween and Halloween 2, which was crap. First one was decent. What else has he given us? Lords of Salem. I enjoyed it. It's really slow, but I enjoyed it for what he was trying to do with it. We got Three from Hell coming. I was excited, but first they were saying it was going to be a prequel, but now they're saying it's a sequel or a part of to end the trilogy. I don't know. I mean, we'll talk about the ending in a minute. We've already talked about the ending on if you listen to our Anchor stuff, where I went through the whole run through and what happened at the end of this. But as far as you not really enjoying, like, yeah, you don't watch these type of films. That's what's good.
Right.
That's what's good between the Zisu and I. If you guys know me and if you've been listening to the show, you know I watch all these crazy movies and the Zisu doesn't. So that's why when we started this up to the challenge, it's finally, okay, I'm going to make it, not make you, but I'm here. You need to watch this and these movies.
Right.
And they've all been pretty brutal for him, not for me, because I see I watch these all the time. I'm desensitized. But this film is amazing. The soundtrack is awesome. I loved the actual score, the scoring, which he did. I can't remember who he did it with. But all the songs he got, man, like the first song, Midnight Rider by the Allman Brothers, is amazing. He even got there was another song in there, which
Freebird.
That's the very end, Lynyrd Skynyrd. But there's another song. What the heck was it? A song by Kitty Wales during one of the scenes with the what the heck was that band called? The family that's in the motel. I can't remember the name of their band now. That's it's escaping me. But anyway, I think my favorite song on this is It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. That's played by Kitty Wells. Awesome, good. It's awesome country song. But everything in this was awesome. You got Bill Moseley as Otis. You got Sid Haig as Captain Spaulding. Baby, Sherry Moon Zombie, those three, amazing. When you first watch House of a Thousand Corpses, I didn't really like it at first, the first time I watched it, because it was a huge psychedelic mess. But then I did some reading. It was Rob Zombie's first horror film, and if you know Rob Zombie, he likes to shock you with imagery, with lighting. It was really colorful. It wasn't as brutal as this, So that movie was, it was just kind of like a, if you went through a haunted funhouse, one of those, like at a carnival, that was like a carnival ride. That's how that film is. I mean, I like it for what it is now, but back when I first saw it, I was kind of like, eh, it was all right. This one came out, I think mainly why reason I wanted to see it is because I got the poster and all that at Comic-Con. Later on, I met him again at a little small little SatCon in Sacramento, and they were all there. So it was cool. I met them there again. And then the movie comes out. I went and seen it. I love it. It's, like I said, my favorite Rob Zombie film. But they tried to make you root for these three characters. The Devil's Rejects is what the news was calling them. And it's just murder and mayhem, like just senseless killing. They're on the run from the cops, because in the very beginning you see the sheriff, yeah, the sheriff and all those guys. They have this big, huge shootout, which I thought was awesome, to get them, because they finally track them down, and you see the mayhem of this house. It wasn't actually the house in the first movie. It was supposed to be, but it wasn't. And you see Otis laying there with all these naked women, and they were actually all dead. And you could see where his mind is. You go down in the basement, and you see girls hacked up, and you see girls in cages, which is crazy. And I love the how they lay it down for you in the beginning of the film, when you got the Allman Brothers, Midnight Rider going. They're on the run, just trying to get away. And it was like Zissou said, it was awesome cinematography, 70s style, where they'd be moving, right, then it would freeze, and then it would move and freeze. I loved all that. They did that throughout the movie as well.
Yeah, that was cool.
But I know there was a huge fandom for these characters. You were rooting for them all the way to the end. And even at the very end, when you think that they're all going to die, because the sheriff finally gets them all, has them all hostage, and he's got them like tied up to chairs and has railroad spikes through their hands, which I thought was an amazing scene.
Thing with that is, all of a sudden for me at that point, that was the first time where I guess it's just the fact, just like a bad thing happening to anybody. Like, yeah, they've done all this stuff and they're kind of evil, and you could say irredeemable and hard to cheer for, but then like they're getting got, and you're like, damn, now the sheriff is like, he's like been infected with evil, and like he's gone off the rails, and he's like torturing them. And it was like, wow, like they did kind of flip it. And at that moment, to me, it was like, okay, like now they're like getting you on their side.
You didn't see the first one. His brother actually got killed. Otis shot him.
Well, they hinted at that.
Otis shot him in the first movie, which House of a Thousand Corpses, which was the most amazing shot in the first film. Here's the setup. You got Sheriff Wydell. It's the Wydell that, well, they're both Wydells, but in the first film, Otis has him on his knees, gun to his head. There was some music playing, and then it just goes silent, and it's actually a crane shot. And the camera just goes back super, really slow. You pull back, you see the house there in the backyard. You see all the, just like a hoarder's house, junk everywhere. And it just goes back. And then all of a sudden, you see him shoot him in the head. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful shot. You can probably watch it on YouTube, or if you have HBO Go or whatever, and you haven't seen this, it's on HBO right now. You can watch both of them. But, oh, man. So that was the reason why this Sheriff Wydell, while he was going nuts and wanting to get these guys. So you're rooting for the main three, but then you're also rooting for Sheriff Wydell, which was amazing performance by, I can't remember that guy's name. Oh, William Forsythe. He's awesome. Also, Ken Foree, awesome. In this, he plays Charlie in this, and the late Matthew McGorry, he plays Tiny, awesome guy. I met him at Comic-Con. He was really cool. And speaking of Tiny.
Yeah, I had a question about him.
Oh, really, really quick. To start the film off, you see him dragging this naked lady through the woods by her hair. And when I say naked, she's fully naked, and they show everything. So I was like, damn, and this movie just kicks you right in the gut right from the get-go. We also had the Leslie Easterbrook. She's awesome. She played Mother Firefly. Mother Firefly was actually Karen Black. For you guys that know her, for all you horror fans, she was the original Mother Firefly, but she had passed away, so they had to get Leslie Easterbrook. She's Callahan from Police Academy, for you Police Academy fans. We also got Jeffrey Lewis. He played Roy Sullivan, the leader of the little country group that was in the motel, and his wife was played by Priscilla Barnes. You might know her as Terry. From Three's Company. And that's what I liked about Rob Zombie when he does these films. He gets all these people from 80s and 70s films. I mean, we got Elizabeth Daly. She played Candy. She was one of the hookers. You got Michael Berryman. He played Cleavon. He was actually, when you see The Hills Have Eyes, the original one, the Wes Craven one, not the remake. Remake is still an amazing film, but he's like the main person you see in the poster. We got PJ Souls for really quick. For those of you, for you Halloween fans, and Carrie and a bunch of other films she was in. Was she in Carrie? I think she was in Carrie. I don't remember. But anyway, you get Deborah Van Valkenbro. She was in Too Close for Comfort, and she was also in The Warriors. And for you adult film watchers, you got Ginger Lynn. She was even in this for a second. Another one, which I thought was awesome, she's only in it in the beginning during the opening credit scene. Really quick, her name is Mary. Whoa, I can never pronounce her name right. Warnov, I think that's how you say her name. She's credited as Abby. They don't say her name because she just gets killed right from the get-go in the beginning of the film. He gets all these actors that were big at one point, which I love that Rob Zombie does. Plus, he gets a lot of his same actors in all his films. Take his wife, for example, Sherry Moon Zombie. She's in every one of his films, and you're starting to get tired of her. But I really loved her as Baby in this film. I didn't really care for her in House of a Thousand Corpses because her laugh got on my nerves. But the whole cast in this was amazing. Yes, the senseless violence and the gore in it. There is CGI blood, which I didn't like. I think this is the first movie where I noticed that they did a lot in this with the CGI blood, and it looked horrible.
Still gross.
I think the most disturbing scene in this film is the motel scene. When they have Priscilla's character. And Otis is basically shoving a gun downstairs, and it was actually hard for him to film. If you have the Blu-ray or whatever, and you watch the extras, he talks about it. He said when they were done filming, he goes, "I had to walk outside and like think happy thoughts, because what he did was like just was ruthless." He's an actor; he's gonna do what he's gonna do, but. Yeah, he said, I mean, deep down, like, I'm human and I'm not like this. I'm just playing a character. And he said that, and it really bothered him. So
I bet.
Bill Moseley's awesome actor. He was my favorite character in this. And so, I mean, but just the violence in this, it was real brutal, skinning, blood. I'm thinking of Halloween where there was rape in that. But there was almost rape in this. But it was just brutal. And I love the two characters. I think it was like the Devils or the Danny Trejo and DDP.
Yeah.
Diamond Dallas Page. Yeah. Well, I can't remember what they were called. The Sons of Satan or something. I don't know. They had the duo or whatever they were called. But they were awesome. I wished they had bigger parts in this. They were only pretty in small. It for like seconds. And I wished... Rob Zombie would do a movie on them, because there was talks that he was going to write a story. It was going to be a spinoff movie, and whatever they called themselves, I can't remember. It was going to be with Danny Trejo and Diamond Dallas Page. in there, because they were basically bounty hunters, and they were right. they were the ones that caught and tracked. They tracked down the Firefly family and captured them for Sheriff Wydell. But I mean, everybody in this was awesome. It was amazingly shot. I love the cinematography in this. The score was awesome. The soundtrack with all the music is in it is amazing, and the ending is just. If you listen to our Anchor episode, it's one of my top favorite endings to a film. And
right.
using Leonard Skinner's Freebird was just the cherry on top. And it was
sure.
an amazing scene. Overall,
yeah,
this is my favorite Rob Zombie film, and I love every minute of it.
All right. The questions I had for you on this tiny character. First off, his like bag thing. Did you think that was a shout out to Voorhees?
No, not really, because he wore a mask in the first one. So I think he was just using what he had. But that when I first saw it, that was the first thing I thought of. But
right.
No, because if you've seen the first film, he was wearing a mask. I actually liked the way he looked more in the first one than he did in this one. So,
right. And then to follow up, okay, so he helps him out and he tracks him down. But, like, what was going on? Like, he didn't go with them because he was, like, going to clean up the scene or something? Or, like, what was he doing? Like, I kind of missed
He just wanted to die. There was no way he could gotten away. I mean, a big, huge guy like that, how it's gonna be hard to hide. That's what I got. He basically just saved his family and said, "I'm not gonna go. I'm gonna stay here." He basically killed himself. Just walked back in the house and burned
in the house. Yeah,
right. He walked back in and just basically burned alive. In the first movie, they tell you the story on how he got all burned up, because when you see. Without the mask, you see his face is all burned up. He got burned up by his father, and that's why he looks like that. But yeah, I thought that was cool the way Tiny came back and saved them all at the end, because you figured, oh man, this is it. Sheriff Wydell's got them all tied up and the hands nailed to chairs and everything. But then no, Tiny comes in and the house is already on fire, and he gets them out. But I loved this scene when baby's running and Sheriff Wydell's chasing him, he's going, "Rabbit, come in." When he's chasing her, and he's whipping her with that belt. But then, I mean, at some point you're thinking, man, he's just being really cruel to her. But then you got to think what they did
right
before all this. So you're like, man, these guys are getting whatever they deserved.
Yeah.
You don't feel sorry for him. A lot of people did that are huge fans of these characters. They did feel sorry. I almost did, but then I thought about what they did. Like, nah, man, they're basically getting off light at this point. They're not getting skinned alive or killed. So, and he's just whipping her with shot her in the leg first, and then he started whipping her with a piece of leather.
But,
I thought that was awesome when Tiny came up behind and snapped his neck.
Yeah,
because that was I just totally forgot about Tiny,
right?
Because they just show him in the beginning, and then the cops come, but he wasn't even in the house. He was outside, like we said earlier. He was dragging that naked lady through the woods, and he kind of stopped because he saw the cops coming. So he basically just hid, and he came back at the end to save the day. So I thought that was cool because you see him in the beginning, you forget all about him. He comes back and rescues his brothers, his two brothers, and his sister. So I thought that was cool. And plus it was a good ending for Tiny, and the movie was dedicated to him. Not until it came out on DVD.
I saw that on the HBO version.
He was still alive when the film came out. He was actually at the premiere at Comic-Con. He had died I can't remember how long after, but when it came out on DVD and everything is when they added in memory of Matthew McGorry. Awesome guy. He was supposed to be in another movie about Andre the Giant, but I guess they didn't even start that yet. Mm-hmm. So But it was good. I loved him in he was in that one Tim Burton movie.
Big Fish. Big Fish.
Yeah, and he was also in Bubble Boy. If you guys have seen that with Jake Gyllenhaal. That's the first time I had seen Matthew McGorian, so it was cool. And seeing him in House of a Thousand Corpses and this one was awesome. Check out Big Fish too, awesome film. Tim Burton.
Oh yeah. Love that film.
But yeah, man. Overall, if I didn't tell you to watch this, would you have watched it, or did you even know about it?
I had heard about it. I did know about it. And interestingly, this is the question I had for you. I see a lot of merchandise. They even have a pop of the Captain Spaulding character. Is he in anything else besides these movies? Is that character known for something else? Like, I don't get why he has so much merchandise.
No, this is just known for these. He was actually only in the beginning of House of a Thousand Corpses, the very beginning and at the end, the very end. He was not, he didn't do anything in the first movie.
That's interesting, because I see if you go on IMDb and you're on the IMDb page for Devil's Rejects, you scroll down and it says followed by the Three from Hell. When you click on that, there's actually a there's like three shots, and one of them is of him. So he'll be back.
Well, all three of them are, and then I don't know how, because at the end of this film, you see them all getting shot up. He gets shot like in the heart, and okay. Oh man, I don't know. I'm sure they'll figure some way around it.
Oh yeah, shouldn't be a problem. I mean, you know, but just even the way it's filmed in that 70s style, it's you can come up with a reason why they made it, or you know, I don't know, maybe they'll introduce something they really are, like, you know, they got that devil's blood or something.
I was kind of like, this would have been perfect to end it on, but I don't know.
It's been over 10 years, because it says 2019. This was 2005, so yeah, it's 14 years in between films.
I don't know. And you just, well, when it comes out, I'm gonna go see it, and I'll let you guys know. Not coming out until next year. I'm not sure when next year, but that's what he said. He said they were going to finish this tour. The film is done. It's all done, shot. He just has to edit it, do the music, and then put it out. So however long this tour goes, I'm not sure if it goes into next year. Maybe it just runs to the end of this year, and then he's going to go finish, put together his film, and then put it out for us. I'm sure it's going to do all the movie
cons.
No, anything. It'll do a Comic-Con, all the film festivals and all that. They're going to do that whole run with it. I mean, just because of who he is now, everyone knows he's got a ton of films under his belt, and we will see. But the way this film ended, I'm just kind of like, yeah. I know a lot of fans were like, oh, wow, they're going to bring it back, and oh, awesome. It better be a good explanation on why they're all still alive.
They got devil's blood.
Oh, because they all the bullets, all the bullets that they took.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you know what? If this follows tradition, I see the release date for this one was July 22nd. If they followed that tradition, it would line right up with a San Diego Comic-Con release. So that could be interesting.
I hope so. And I hope they have a screening for it. This time I will go.
Right.
Because the screening for this one, it was, you know, when they had the masquerade thing on Saturday night, it was the Devil's Rejects bring you Comic-Con's Masquerade, whatever, 2005. Then they had the screening right after that. So, and there was no tickets involved. You just stood in line and you got in.
That's the way. So,
I don't know. If he does bring Three from Hell to Comic-Con and he does have a screening, I am going to try hard to get in there and see it. So as soon as that comes out, I'm sure we'll give you all the news to when that comes out. But really quick before we end this and before we give you our next challenges, I always have to go back to my favorite scene in this film when Otis is beating the hell out of Roy Sullivan and he gives him that my favorite quote in the whole film.
Yeah.
I am the devil and I'm here to do the devil's work. And then just proceeds to bash his brains in with a big stick. That's some ruthless stuff to say to somebody.
Sure.
That scene is amazing. I'll probably end the pod with that. But I love this film. This movie is amazing. My favorite, all-time favorite Rob Zombie film. Everything he's done has not come close to topping this one.
Right. All right. Yeah. That's Devil's Rejects for you. If you want to check it out, it's on HBO, HBO Go, HBO Now, all that. So, yeah, cool. All right. Ready for the next challenge? It's still October, so we're still keeping it on the spooky side. I'm building up the list for when we get into November, back to semi-normal.
Yeah, we got I'm going to not 2006, not that one. That was the remake. 1976. The mystery, that's what they're calling it on here. Let me see if I can pull it up on IMDb and see what they say. But this is the 1976 classic. It just says horror. Horror classic. Yeah, I would say supernatural, that type of deal. The Omen, the original one, not the remake. Have you seen this?
Okay. No.
Directed by Richard Donner, who brought us Superman, as well as Lethal Weapon. Did he do that one?
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to find out.
He gave us Superman. He gave us Lady Hawk, Lethal Weapon. I think all the Lethal Weapons he did, even Assassins and awesome film, if you guys haven't seen it, a movie called Maverick with James Gardner, Jodie Foster, and Mel Gibson. Yeah, Mel Gibson's taking a lot of heat for his craziness, but I still love that film. But this film's awesome, man. I love it. I didn't see it when it came out. I actually saw it when it started making its first TV run, and it was in the 70s when I first saw this. But I love this movie, The Omen from 1976. It's streaming on HBO.
Okay, I'll check it out. The one I have for you, and maybe we could do a rare two challenge for you. I was browsing the Hulu section, the Huluween, and their so-called scary as hell section, because I know that's what you would prefer. I know you heard about, and maybe you even watched the Netflix live action version, but have you actually seen the animation for Death Note?
Yes, I have. All 100 episodes or however many there is.
You watched it all, huh?
Yeah, a while ago. Before that.
How was that? Just real quick.
It's all right. It wasn't for me. I mean,
it wasn't scary as hell?
Oh, not even close. Did you watch the movie that was on Netflix?
No.
It was trash.
No. Yeah, and that's what, not only you, but I heard everybody. I didn't hear one good review of that film.
The only thing that was good was the actual demon. I can't remember his name. He was voiced by Green Goblin. He was in Boondock Saints. He was in Platoon. That was Green Goblin's name.
Norman Osborn.
What's his real name? I'm kicking myself that I don't know this. I should
Life
know.
Aquatic.
And I'm sure everyone's yelling at me.
Yep. He's in Life Aquatic. He's in Grand Budapest Hotel.
I liked him in Platoon.
He's in John Wick, right?
No.
Yeah. Isn't he?
Uh-uh. William Dafoe.
Yeah, it wasn't.
He's not in John
yeah,
Wick.
Yeah, and isn't he? Yeah.
No, he's not.
Isn't he in Wick? I don't want to look it up right now.
I don't think so. I don't know. I would remember him if he was in that. I don't see him, or I don't see anything listed for John. Well, I guess he was in it. Who was he?
Yeah, there he is, Marcus.
Which one was he?
He was like his friend.
Oh, that's right. He was the yeah. That's right. He was like the cop that they right. killed. Oh, okay. All right, I remember. I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, who the hell was he? I was thinking of someone else. but yeah, William Dafoe, he was in, what were we just talking about? Death Note. He was the demon. Well, he was the voice of the demon in that. And the, you didn't see any of the Death Note, anime?
No, yeah. None of it. I just noticed it was on the so-called Scary as Hell tab of Hulu.
There's a million episodes of it.
Oh wow.
Let me see how much that, because it was all on Netflix. Let me see how many they have on here. On 74 episodes. That's just season one. I couldn't even tell you which one to watch. This one explained, the actual anime does explain more of the character and everything in the movie that they did, the Netflix movie. It was just they were just trying to cash in on the whole Death Note thing. That's all they tried to do, and they did not do a good job at it, because when that one came out, everyone, all the horror pods and all the anime pods, it all just tore it apart.
Yep, that's what I heard. I didn't hear one good thing about it. All I heard about it was getting tore apart left and right. Nobody liked it. So.
See, I don't know why they make stuff like that. When if it's something that's so loved by everybody, right. Especially anime. Yeah. Anime isn't for everybody, and a lot of people don't watch it, but there is a huge audience for it. I don't see every anime. I only watch the ones that sound interesting to me. But yeah. That was one of them. I mean, I like the characters in it. And it was actually a decent anime show. But it's long if you want to sit through all those episodes. They're really short. They're not very long. But it's just, it was just, you get kind of tired of it. And you want to watch something else. And the movie they put out on Netflix was crap.
Right. Another one they did on Netflix that didn't live up to it, and I didn't watch the original either, but I saw nothing but people say it did not live up to it, was Full Metal Alchemist. And I forced my way through that, but did not enjoy it. So anyways, let me get you your challenge that is definitely going to be approved. I'm going to challenge you to Deadly Blessing.
81, right?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Wes Craven.
Which is amazing that you haven't seen it, just because I would assume you've seen everything Wes Craven.
I've seen bits and pieces of this one. Quick little story. All my movies, you guys know, if you guys are faithful listeners, all start at the drive-in. Whatever my mom and dad took us to see, I kind of got bored with it. I looked over on the next screen, and Deadly Blessings was on. There was one scene that I remember that I dread, now that you're giving me the watch, dealing with spiders. I hate spiders.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a spider scene in this. That was like one of the main scenes that I saw. I didn't hear a word of it. It was dealing with the spider falling off the ceiling, if I can remember right, onto this lady's mouth or her face. All right. Yeah. Again, yeah, I was looking over there. Didn't, like I said, I didn't hear anything, but I did see I would say I saw a fair amount of it, but I have no idea what it's about. I'm surprised I never did go back to it. I think the reason I didn't go back to it was because of the spider scene.
Sure.
I don't like spiders. Arachnophobia was an awesome film, but if you saw it with me, hey Gav, if you're listening, he was with me. My buddy was with me, and oh my God, my feet were plastered on the seat in front of me. And luckily, it was actually him, his girlfriend at the time. Either of us didn't like spiders, and we were kind of like both not in each other's laps, but like kind of locking arms, and our feet were plastered up against the front seats. I was only like that because I just hate spiders, and he was laughing at us. His girlfriend, actually, I won't say her name. I hated her, but I never liked her. Gav, I love you, brother. You know I love you, but she got on my nerves, dude. but anyway, I remember we were locking arms and watching this movie. It's an amazing film. I loved it. I loved not so much the giant spider that was the mechanical puppet one, but I liked that they used real spiders and there was no CGI or any of that crap in it. But I can watch that movie every now. I have to be in the right mood to watch that film. But going back to Deadly Blessing, that spider scene, I could picture myself, I close in my eyes right now, I can picture myself looking out the right side of our van to the, I was at the Coliseum Drive-In in Oakland. The drive-in is still there. They don't play movies there. It's a huge flea market swap meet that happens every day, right off 880, for those of you that don't know, like a couple blocks away from the stadium and the arena. But I'm looking off to the right, to the right, and I could see what's happening on the screen. And when the spiders came and the lady's mouth opened up, I just remember looking away. That's all. That image was burned in my head, and I could still see it. And that's what I'm dreading watching this. But I will watch it, and I'll let you guys know what I think of it. It's probably like the only Wes Craven movie I never actually watched all the way through. Like I just said, I saw bits of it. So we'll be back.
Yeah, sounds good.
1981's Deadly Blessing for me, and 1976 Richard Donner film The Omen. I love that movie. That movie's awesome. The remake, it was all right. They try to give you, they went a little more visual with the remake and the CGI killings and effects and everything. But with this one, there's no blood. If there is, it's minimal. The violence, it's eerie to see, but it's all practical effects. There's one scene towards the end, which I love. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Well, you'll get to it, and you know the actors that are in it. Everyone, that's our next challenges. Hopefully, we'll do that real soon. Oh, dude, sure. I'm dreading that spider scene, but
I bet
I'll get through it. Your blood in gore, mine's just spiders.
So. Right.
all right, guys. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to do the catch up with 31 Days of Horror. I got two I got to bust out right after this, and we'll be caught up. So get ready for a regular episode as well. We got a lot of movies. That are non-horror we're going to talk about. We got some TV we got some TV shows. New stuff on Netflix and The Conners, ABC. I don't know if you watched it, but I did. And
quick hint. I got hint. Camping. I got Romanoff.
Quick hint.
So, yeah.
We'll see. A ton of other junk. That most likely that show will be pushing 3 hours. And
we'll try to be good. Try to be good.
Maybe we'll minimize it. Maybe we'll give you a two-parter for that one. I also got stuff for our collectibles, which is awesome. And I will
Give
you a little rundown of my Sinister Creature Con. Listen to my next episode of Macness Podcast. I got director Mike Marin talking about his latest screening for his film, The Smudging. And I'm also going to end that with a quick little run through of Sinister Creature Con. And I'll do some more of this and that on E-Society. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. Do check out our anchor episodes. We got to get you back on for another 31 Days of Horror. I found another short film for you to watch.
Perfect.
It's one of those ones that like minutes. So we could do that. But yeah, everyone, hey, thank you so much for listening. Listening to all the shows on Podbean. Everything goes on to iTunes as well. SkaterNez Podcast Network, East Society, MacNez, Big Guys, everything else. Jesse from Horrorcopia, Blind Frankenstein, he's going to be on our ESP at the movies when we talk about Halloween. And I'm not sure if Mike is, but we'll probably get him in somewhere or another. And yeah, listen to our anchor episodes as well. Also on iTunes. For that one, just look up East Society and yeah, you'll find us. So, hey, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And I will see you next time. And the Z-So here is to close us out.
Yep. Thanks, everybody. Have fun. Be safe. And we'll be up to the challenge.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.